Welcome to another episode of Facilitating the Mission, the podcast for Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. My name is Ed.
And my name is Jeff.
In today's episode, we're going to talk about something that's very important, a very overlooked question. And the question becomes, how does a person know they're being called to be a missionary? And some questions they will then need to answer. If you're convinced God has called you to be a missionary, how did he communicate that calling to you? And we'll see that calling to others. Jeff, I know you've been asked that question literally hundreds of times, and many people have come to you. How would you respond to them? How do you answer that question for people?
Well, Ed, you know, it's a really relevant and obviously in the world of missions, a really important question. And, you know, the starting place, as with all other aspects of trying to understand God and his will and his plan, and especially missions, the place to begin is with God's word. It always provides a foundation from which we can begin to answer. And I'm of the strong opinion and conviction that the book of Acts is the primary playbook that, you know, the missionary God who has unveiled himself in the Bible, the book of Acts is his primary playbook to assist us with accomplishing what we know his heart is for the nations.
You know, I'm in total agreement. I've seen so many times where people try to explain the calling in many ways, and they almost avoid the book of Acts or even scripture as a whole. So which part of the book of Acts would you jump to?
Well, to me, it's significant that in the book of Acts, we only have recorded one specific local church in which we have a description of God calling some of the members of that local church to go to the field. And of course, that comes from the book of Acts chapter 13, the first five verses. And we have something described there that I believe provides the bedrock understanding that we need to answer this question, and then three key principles that will help anybody to understand if God is calling them to be a missionary.
I like this because you're using biblical principles to establish the missionary calling, and not just feelings or not just, you know, emotion, but you're going to actually bring us to scripture. So Jeff, would you unpack that a little bit for us?
Well, first of all, you know, keep in mind that the book of Acts chapter 11 records the birth of the church in the city of Antioch. And once the apostles in Jerusalem heard about the church that had been birthed there, rather than sending out Peter and John like they normally did, they sent Barnabas. And so when Barnabas arrives, he sees what's going on. He sees God's hand is on it, and he calls for Paul. And then Paul and Barnabas serve at the church there in Antioch for at least a year, best we can tell. Now, in the first few verses there, the two key things to keep in mind about what's described is number one, there was a clearly recognized leadership in this church, a leadership team, and it names those five guys. It refers to them as prophets and teachers, and it names these five guys. So there was a clearly recognized leadership team in the church. Second, and this is really important, and this is what our heart cries out for as a missions organization. Those leaders, those recognized leaders, were serving and worshiping the Lord, and they were also fasting. So here's the leadership of a local church intentionally worshiping God by serving him and then by fasting. And it's while they're in the midst of fasting and worshiping the Lord that God speaks.
Yeah, you see the display of a very healthy church, a multicultural leadership team developed there. I always like to point out there's Africans on that team, having spent so many years in Africa. And we see a healthy church. We see them worshiping the Lord in prayer and in fasting and such. So what are the principles you would pull from this text regarding the calling of Paul and Barnabas?
Okay, well, the first principle, and I think this is absolutely crucial, and it's the place I've started with so many of the people that think or sense that God's calling them to the mission field, and that is, what is the work that God's calling you to do on the mission field? Now, the reason this is important and why this principle is so crucial is because when the Holy Spirit spoke to these leaders, including the two that were called to go, he didn't say, set apart Paul and Barnabas for the location or for the people that I've called them to. No, he said, set them apart for the work that I've called them to. And I think the principle there is that, you know, what God does is he basically takes his people who are surrendered to him, who have given him their whole lives and all of their life experiences, and he recognizes what's in their inventory already that can be useful to expand his kingdom around the world. So one of the things that I want to just go ahead and lay out there, and I say this because I get this on a regular basis. People say, well, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm just going to serve the Lord. Well, of course you're going to serve the Lord. You're a Christian. You say you love Jesus. You say you're a servant. Having the mindset that you're just going to go serve the Lord and do whatever he calls you to does not warrant moving to another country and being a part of all that goes on with that. God's not going to send you to another part of the world just so you can serve him. Of course you're going to serve him. The question is for the person praying about becoming a missionary who thinks God may be calling them, the key question there is, what is the work that God's given you to do based on your life experience, your educational background, your vocational background, your ministry experience, of all of that personal inventory that you have? What is it that God's going to use from your inventory to further his kingdom overseas? That's the key question. That's principle number one.
Yeah, that helps me understand when I've known missionaries that have moved on to a new people group or to a new mission site, but they're still principally engaged in the same sort of work because they were separated under the work that the Holy Spirit had called them into.
Yeah, and you know, it helps to define job descriptions. It helps in so many other areas to know what God's called you there to do. And of course, in their case, Paul and Barnabas, the work was to specifically preach the gospel and plant churches. That's a special gift and a task that God assigns people that he's gifted to be able to do that. And they had the background to be able to do that.
Oh, great. Now, what's another point in this missionary calling?
Well, the second point is that Paul and Barnabas heard directly from the Holy Spirit. So the principle is that the call to become a missionary is first a call to a work. Secondly, it's a personal call. The individual who feels God is calling them, the Holy Spirit needs to speak directly to them, that God has called you to do this work that he wants you to do in some location, you know, most likely overseas. And so it's very personal. It's not just, you know, here's a need, and here's all the needs that are there, and by the way, you're available, so go do something. No, it's a personal call. I want you to do this. It's almost like, you know, in a sense, when Jesus is standing out the tomb of Lazarus, and then he says, Lazarus, come forth. It was a specific call to a specific individual to do something specifically. And Lazarus, of course, responded. Well, Paul and Barnabas heard this personal call, and of course, they responded to the personal call that God laid on their hearts.
Now, Paul and Barnabas are together with the other three leaders there in the church, and you have the idea there's prayer, there's fasting, they're worshiping the Lord, they're ministering unto the Lord. We, of course, don't know exactly what that looks like, but they hear from the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit said, and so it's a very clear moment, you know, of what you said, a call. What might that look like today? Would that be a prayer and a time of prayer and fasting? Would it be in a prayer meeting? Could it be over more time? What some examples from today?
I think it's usually the byproduct of a process where somebody is walking with the Lord at a deeper level than maybe they have in the past, and they're seeing his word from a new angle. The Holy Spirit's making things fresh, and they have a heart for the world. They've got a greater concern now, and so they start reading missionary biographies. They want to read missionaries' newsletters. They start going to prayer meetings that already exist and praying for missionaries, or maybe they want to start a missionary prayer meeting. When God is moving on someone's heart, there will be evidence of that, and once that time comes where they feel called, as I said, it'll be this personal calling. But because they're part of a local church, we then move into that third principle. And that third principle is that not only must the missionary have a personal calling, but God will confirm that calling to basically the leaders and the other members of their church that they've served alongside.
So they need to ask those around them, especially the spiritual leaders in their life, hey, I believe God's, you know, making a call in my life to go to the mission field. How do you feel about this? And kind of have a vulnerable moment with them.
Yeah, you know, and actually what I've told people is, you know, I've said, you know, if you're sensing this calling, you need to go to, you know, the person who's over you in whatever ministry you serve in the church. If it's a small church, it may be your pastor, your senior pastor. But basically go to them and tell them, hey, you know what? I feel like God may be calling me to be a missionary. How does that sound to you? Does the idea of me being a missionary, does that strike you as like completely odd are off the wall. And honestly, the way those leaders respond to that will give you a pretty good indication about whether A, God is calling you, or B, maybe the timing's off, or maybe it'll just be very clear, man, none of the people who know you and love you and have observed you as part of the body of the church, and none of them can see you being a missionary. Doesn't mean God's not calling you to be a missionary at some point downstream, but that calling and confirmation of the leaders in your church and the fellow servants that you serve alongside in various ministries, that's crucial.
Yeah, I think what we wouldn't want to see is a surprised reaction. Like someone say, we've never thought of you that way. We would want to see, at the minimum, let me pray about that, or at the best, that just makes sense. What's taking you so long to realize this deep spiritual truth that you have a calling on you? We've all seen it. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's, in a sense, Ed, that's one of the things that makes it challenging to do missions well in American culture, where we're hyper-independent and individualistic. And so somebody can say, well, I'm convinced God's called me to do this. And none of the people that really know them and love them sense that that's what God's called them to do, but they feel so convinced that they're going to go do it anyway. And what I've seen, you know, from that text and over the years is that, hey, the calling and confirmation to be a missionary, God's going to speak that not just to the one he calls to go, but to those he's called to send, the ones who go.
Yeah, and that's obviously the pattern we see there in Acts chapter 13. And even as the book of Acts continues to play out, the involvement of the church confirming when they could see the grace that was upon Paul and Barnabas, it's just an obvious, clear moment that they were behind them. Their calling was confirmed.
Exactly. And you know, the other thing to keep in mind about this, the idea of the leaders that you've served under recognizing that you being a missionary, you know, is something they can actually see as a possibility. But it's also important that, you know, the people that you've served alongside, your fellow Sunday school teachers, your fellow parking lot attendants, your fellow ushers, fellow sound crew guys, or whatever roles you've been serving in the church, you know, those that you serve alongside, are they going to be like totally surprised if one day you say, you know what, I think God's called me to be a missionary, you know, to Asia? If they are, again, the timing may be off. And it kind of provokes me to make one other point, and that is, I don't know how to say this any more clearly and maybe more offensively, but I got to say it anyway. If you're just attending the Sunday morning services of your church, God's not calling you to be a missionary. If you just go to the service, participate in the worship, sing, listen to the pastor, go home, I can tell you right now, at this point in time, you're not called to be a missionary. If you're not serving in an integral ministry or any kind of ministry within the church, if you're not serving and have not built deep relationships and served alongside other people in your church, the timing is not right for God to call you to be a missionary.
Well, Jeff, you've kind of wrestled with it, and I want to approach it from a slightly different angle. What if you make that step and you ask your pastor or maybe a ministry leader or those people you work with and say, hey, I believe God's putting a call on me to be a missionary or a call on my family, and they say, I don't see it. Well, do you think there's a good response to that?
I think a good response to that would be, I respect what you're saying.
Amen.
And obviously,
amen.
I would take the burden on myself. I would say, okay, then I haven't been living and serving and acting in such a way as to make it possible for you to think this is what God's calling me to do. So my first thought would be, okay, how can I change? How can I press in more to God? How can I do the things that would make it easier for somebody who knows me and loves me to think that maybe God is calling me to be a missionary? And like one of the things would be, you know, am I involved with any sort of cross-cultural ministry here locally? I mean, why would we send you to the other side, from the pastor's perspective, why would we send you to the other side of the world to work with people of a different language and culture when we're right here in the middle of a city or a town where there's a lot of people from around the world and you're not doing any ministry among them?
Let me ask this question of you, Jeff. How do I discern if it's just my emotions? You know, I have a burden for a certain group or in a certain geography and maybe a certain work. How do I discern when it's my emotion versus it's a true call of God? Because it's easy to get that mixed up, and it's a risk to raise support and shift my family and maybe sell possessions on this side and all it takes to get someone to the mission field. It's an important question.
It is an important question. I think it crosses over into the basic walking with Jesus sanctification process in the same sense that we don't walk with Jesus day to day by our emotions.
Right.
Our emotions are engaged, but God's created us to have minds and to use our minds. One of the ways to know if it's just an emotional thing is you'll have a heart to, you know, to A, you know, figure out how whatever God's gifted you with, you can do that in a cross-cultural context. B, you'll intentionally want to learn about the country you think God's calling you to. So you start to study the history of that country. You start to study other missionaries. You start reading missionary books. And if it's just an emotional thing, you'll lose interest in it in a couple of weeks. If it's something the Lord's put on your heart, there's going to be this sustainable passion, this ongoing hunger to learn more about wherever you think God's calling you, to prepare yourself better, and to also, you know, make decisions, even financial decisions locally, that would make it possible for you to take that step to become a missionary and leave everything behind.
Great response, Jeff. We've heard that the idea of working together the leadership of the church so that the Holy Spirit would speak and to the leaders and to you specifically, that you could hear. Then we heard that you would kind of propose that out to the leaders, that there would be a response from the greater body. And then we've heard this side of the confirmation on a personal level, that there would be some sort of known call within you. Anything else you would add to this?
The one other thing that I would add, and again, this would be observable to the people you serve alongside and the leaders of your church, and that is, if your church has missionaries out on the field, are you praying for them?
Amen.
Do you get their newsletters? When they're back in the States on a break, do you go meet with them? In other words, if you're not already participating in whatever way possible in the global endeavors of the church you serve at by loving their missionaries and caring for them, maybe even supporting them financially, then again, it's going to be less likely that your leaders and your co-servants are going to think that your call to be a missionary is valid.
Let me end with this final question then, Jeff. Let's suppose someone has laid this before the Lord and those three points have come back all with green lights and it looks like, you know, wow, we may be on the field in the near future. What's a reasonable time from the time of that calling confirmed to, you know, putting things in a bag and getting on an airplane?
Well, you know, I think that a reasonable amount of time is, I tell people it should be probably a minimum of 9 months, if not a year. And the reason I say that is because there is a process, a journey that you have to walk through to get prepared to go to the field. There's the importance of, you know, building a group of people within the church that can buy into your vision and will get behind you and serve you in a practical care team type structure. And then also the idea that you want to be as equipped and as prepared as possible for success. And there may be some short, some pre-field training that you want to take before you go, and of course the support raising component and so forth. And so one of the things that I do is I tell people, look, it takes a woman, it takes 9 months for a baby to be ready to be birthed, but that 9 months is not just to get the baby ready, it's also to get the woman's body ready. And so my sort of pat answer is, look, as a pastor that's been asked that question a number of times, we love you too much to let you go out in 3 to 6 months. We want it to be a good 9 months to a year so that when we send you, you're going to go equipped and ready for success, and we're going to be ready to love on you and take care of you.
Well said. I've read the studies from the missiologists, and the more time someone has spent God working in and through them before they actually deploy to the field, the better and more efficient they are on the field because they've deepened their relationship with the Lord, they've deepened their relationship with their church body, and they've deepened their compassion for those that they're going to serve. And it always ends up better. And it's a strange balance between the urgency to go serve and the time God is preparing them. So I really enjoy your answer. Well, thank you for tuning in to Facilitating the Mission. We look forward to having more podcasts like this. I'm just sitting here with Jeff and I'm thinking, we probably should have a podcast on what the next step is after that, you know, how to begin the support raising and deepening relationships and those sort of things. So be looking for that in the future.
I agree. I'm looking forward to some other things having to do with that subject. And there's so many other subjects to cover. So again, If you've checked this out and you have any ideas, things you'd like us to cover, please contact us through our website. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much.